Question number 9. Father, with thy children blessed for thy love, and let us be so. Source of blessing is confessing our Father and our God. Wondrous is thy love and giving. Jesus, for our sins to die, and it was his grace and living for our sake, the heavens on high. Number 9.
Look at a very familiar portion that most here know by heart. And it's the 23rd Psalm. There's just a couple thoughts that one has enjoyed in connection with this, and perhaps it may prove to be an encouragement to us. We'll just read it. First, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is a very lovely psalm. I know many youngsters have learned it by heart, and we cannot turn to it and read it or hear someone refer to it without a sense of encouragement. The Lord is my shepherd. We find that the shepherd has generally a flock that he cares for. But here we find David making it very personal, that it is the one who is leading is his shepherd. He is my shepherd. I'm sure it's true that everyone here tonight can say that, and I trust it is true, that we identify and make it personal that he is my shepherd. And though probably few here have been acquainted with anything having to do with agriculture or with sheep, myself having very little experience, but yet we know that a shepherd is given responsibility, and his care is for his sheep. And he is going to look after them in every way. And that is a comfort to us, that we have the Lord, or that I have the Lord as my shepherd. And so, what else can he say but what follows? I shall not want. There's a little verse that says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And I think of that in the sense that just contentment is nice. There are many people in this world that are content. We know that it seems that everyone is striving for more as we view society in a whole. But there are people who are content, and they seem to be quite satisfied in their for their pathway and so forth. But if it's without godliness, there really is no gain. But if you add godliness with contentment, then you have a great gain. And so here, this one, David could say, I shall not want. Why not? Because the shepherd is going to provide everything he needs. Everything he needs. And it is a difficult thing for us to recognize this, because we by nature are a restless and a dissatisfied people. But when we have learned that the Lord is a shepherd, and we can realize that his interest is on my behalf, then I can say, I shall not want. And in the day of today, to say that I shall not want is quite a challenge. Because you drive down the road and you'll see everything on the billboards that you might want. And the spirit of this world and my nature mesh perfectly. There's no rough corners on it when they are engaged, because I have a nature that will mesh very easily without any clashing of gears with what the world presents. But when I find out that there is something better, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they considered their latter end. And so we have to consider the latter end, and then we find that there is more, because the glory of this world faded away. And so the things which are not seen are eternal, and we place our trust in that, and then we can say, I shall not want. We'll pass over the next two verses for the moment, because those are the ones I like to speak upon particularly. And we go to the fourth, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, an example comes before me of one not too long ago has passed from this scene, and I know this doesn't necessarily apply to death per se, but it is, this world is a valley of death. And death has been pronounced upon it. The soul that sinneth shall die. And every soul in this scene has sinned, and so the pronounce of the death is upon it. But the illustration that has fixed itself in and drawn my attention is a dear older brother who was had an affliction, and he knew he was not going to recover. Near the end, he was still conscious, and he had his right mind, and he asked the family, or one of the family members, how the weather was. And the member was saying, well, it's kind of unsettled now, or whether there was a stormy that day. And he said, well, that wouldn't be a very good day for a service. I trust it'll be a nice day. Isn't that something? That one who is facing the end of life here in this scene was not concerned about his leaving, but that the weather might be favorable for those who had to get out. To me, that is a very striking illustration of what the end of someone who's leaving this scene should be. And so this one could say, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, is the shepherd going to care for us wherever we are? It certainly is, isn't it? No matter where we are, as we are drawn through the pathway following the shepherd, he knows the valley. He knows what exists there. He knows you're on my pathway. And that is a humbling thing, too, as we think about it, that he knew me before he called me, in that sense. And in spite of that, he would have me for his own. And yet, when he did call me, he knew that he knew the way, he knew where the path would lead, and he knew that there would be dangers. But the psalmist could say, and you and I can say, that I'll fear no evil. His hand is upon me, and he will guide. For thou art with me. Cast your care upon me, and I will sustain thee. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He has the instruments in his hand at his disposal, and he'll use them as the occasion arises, so that his concern and his care is for myself, for his own, that they will pass through this scene under his care. Thou preparest a table before me. Well, a table speaks to me oftentimes of communion, and we have that comfort and that blessed portion of communion with him as we go through this scene. We often use this in connection with the Lord's table. And I enjoy that application for my part because there is the enemy all around. There is constantly those who would take away from the wondrous simplicity and of the preciousness of being at his table. He has prepared the table, and he's prepared it for me. As David prepared the table for Mephibosheth, it was prepared for him. He was invited there, and I'm sure Mephibosheth valued that table. And so he prepares a table for us. And to, I think also in the illustration that we have in Luke 24, where they bid him to come into the house, there was communion, not the Lord's table, but there was communion. There was fellowship at that table. And in that time of fellowship, something was revealed to them that had they not invited him in, they perhaps would not have known if we would carry it that far. But they invited him in. He went in to sup with them. And in that transpiring there, something was revealed to them that drew their hearts and their soul back to where they belonged. And so, there are enemies about, dear ones, but his table is still there. I think on the illustration, perhaps one has said it before, that when someone who had left the system and come and saw the place at the Lord's table, I said, you know that the place you have left, that may cease to exist. Like in Hubbard, our hometown, for example, at one time I'm told that there were six or more places in a small town of probably 400 at that time, maybe less, where the people would assemble to what we call worship. And now there's three. But suppose you had been one of those that had ceased to exist. Well, where do you go? Apparently, you cannot identify with something that has ceased to exist. But here is a table that will be present, that is available, as long as the Lord tarries, as long as he leaves us here. And I like the expression that someone previously had said, really touching, I think, to think that when the Lord calls us home, we don't have to change names. That ought to strike us. That ought to strike the heart of each one. To think of that, you know, beloved, I don't have to leave a name here when the Lord calls us home. And I anoint my head with oil. He has given us the Holy Spirit. And it is an oil of joy. And my cup runneth over. If we appreciate and realize what our portion is in himself, we have to say that my cup runneth over. And then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Sometimes we find it difficult to say that. There are times that come that we say, well, is this goodness and mercy? But it is. It is what he has provided for us. And it is what our enjoyment of the Lord is what gives us a sense of that goodness and mercy. I was thinking of that in a portion that we have been reading and are reading in Romans, although that is a different application. But be reminded of the goodness of God. Oh, if we received the just due of our reward, beloved, we would not be here. If we received the just due of our reward. So goodness and mercy will follow us. all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We were reading, I guess perhaps I should not go into it, but we were reading, I guess I remember enough of the verse that I can relate it. And it says, the verse says, the end of the verse says, when I awake, I'm still with thee. Or the other way around. The thought is that the believer is put to sleep. If we are called to depart before the Lord comes, we are, as we find in 1 Thessalonians 4, and those who sleep in Jesus, we lay them in the tomb, in the grave. But he says, when I awake, I'm still with thee. So being laid aside, put to sleep, does not separate a thing, because when I awake, when he wakes me up, takes me out of the tomb, and resurrects a body, I awake, still with thee. Still with thee. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so that's what happens. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now I'd like to go back to the second and third verse. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, in Mark 6, the multitude follow him, and they become weary and hungry. And who is aware of it more than he himself? And so he calls them to sit down in the green grass. Green grass is a place of nourishment, a place of quietness, a place of a satisfying condition. It's interesting, just a thought in a, I'm sure our brother here right close by could give much more on that. But in the colors of the tabernacle and all, there's no green there, because it speaks of the earth. The other colors have to do with the heavenly and other aspects of our blessed Lord. But green is not a color that's used there. And I suspect perhaps it's because green is a connotation of the earth. The green of growth here. But he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. And I know many, and perhaps all of you have heard many times, that a sheep cannot drink out of disturbed waters. And so he leads them beside the still waters, waters of quietness. And you know, it is difficult to drink of the Word of God where it is troubled, where there is contention, where things are unsettled. But he leads me beside the still waters. If my occupation is with himself, it's going to be still waters, and they're going to satisfy. He restoreth my soul. Now, this is a point that I want to look at. I see the 23rd Psalm, beloved, as positive from the beginning to the end. That is probably not exactly correct, but for the application, allow me to use it that way. Because I think it's characteristic of the shepherd that I know all the valued writers will say that I have gotten out of the way and he has to restore me. Beloved, there's another element, and I think it's important, that the shepherd is mindful that in his flock there are all kinds of sheep. There are those who are older, They cannot travel long in a day's time. There are those who are young, very young, perhaps, and knowing full well that in a where there are a flock of sheep and at birthing time there are lambs that need special care. And the shepherd is mindful of that. Now they have not gone out of the way, but they need help, and he restores. How does he restore? He nourishes them. He feeds them. Some time ago, I don't know, perhaps it's been a year or so, there was a conversation, and the question was asked about a laborer getting so weary of the journey that he says, I'm using an illustration, so I'm not quoting anyone, that he's just so drawn and exhausted, he says, I don't want any more. I don't want to hear anything more about service until I get strengthened. Well, I think that, personally, that brother has probably missed the Lord's mind to say that. But for a brother who is serving, or even you or I, for that matter, if we have a care for the flock, or for our own personal daily responsibilities, and we get exhausted, which we do, and a servant of the Lord may say, I have a tremendous care for the flock, but I'm just exhausted. He restores my soul. And I think that is, to me, very precious, because he is mindful of his own. And he remembers that we are dust. He knows we have failing strength. And he is able. And when there's a time of need, when he recognizes, and we recognize, that I am a poor earthen vessel, he restores. He takes the care to give us the green grass and the still waters. In talking about this a couple of years ago, one brother was in our home, and I mentioned this thought to him, and he says, well, you know, sheep wander. You know, sheep have a tendency to wander. And I'm slow of thought, so I didn't respond. And I said, yeah, I suppose that's true. But if I had the answer then, I'd say now, I'd say, well, brother, I'm sure that's true, but you know, a sheep that's laying down does not wander. And they lay down in green pastures beside the still waters. He restores us. And that's the portion that I think, to me, is so precious in this psalm. That he knows that we are dust. He knows we're a feeble lot. The shepherd cares for us, and he restores us. Not because we're willful, but because we need help. And what does it say in Hebrews? We find grace to help in time of need. He isn't reprimanding us there. He's helping us. There's grace to help in time of need. So, beloved, I just leave you with this. I enjoy it that way. And perhaps you can find more thoughts in this portion. I know you can. But it is, to me, very helpful and encouraging to know that I'm weak. I weary of the travel, of the journey, but he restores. He strengthens. He supplies what we need. He knows, as we had in our reading in Sunday school this morning, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. May we count upon him. May we rest and have full confidence, brethren and sisters, in this shepherd that we have. There's none like him.